Okay, thank you. Okay, good evening everybody to the Budget Scrutiny Panel January meeting, and we'll wish through the preliminaries. That's okay. So do we have any apologies, Laura?
No, everyone's here either in person or virtually, Chair.
Thank you very much. Do we have any minutes of previous meetings? We've got those and we're happy to approve those minutes. Thank you, councillors. Do we have any disclosures of pecuniary interests and any other registrable or non-registrable interests?
Yep.
Anybody online?
No.
Any declarations from party whips?
No.
Do we have any questions under scrutiny committee procedure 11.16?
Not submitted, Chair.
Thank you. Okay then. So I think really, if we start, I'll just check if everybody online, if you can all see and hear us. You could nod or, yep, we're all there. That's good. I'm assuming Lee can, we know his camera's not working. So we'll proceed. So, Simon, could we come to you then, or you, Neil, just to give us an update on the financial settlement that you've received.
So, in terms of the settlement, people probably argue there's two elements to it. So, one element, so when we get the settlement, it comes with various grants we get. And then for retained business rates, you get some parameters. So it tells you what the settlement funding assessment is and what the tariff is. So the tariff is what you pay. The tariff is what we pay over to the government. So in terms of the first bit, the grants we can see, we were about £97,000 short of what was in the budget. So in the context of in the context of expecting 3 million, 97,000 actually is reasonably close. So it's obviously not a fantastic scenario, but it's well within the bounds of manageability. If we'd have been half a million short, that would have been a different matter. But under 100,000, we can be reasonably relaxed about that. The other bit is the settlement funding assessment and the tariffs and retained business rates. So we've got some numbers. But we have to run that through a complex model. So there's something called the NNDR1 form, which the government produces, which is always a bit different every year. The CAFTA have to update their software, which is taking a bit of time this year because technically the two business rate multipliers are different. So anyway, that takes a bit of time, so we have to do a lot of work and work that through. From the numbers we've got, though, it doesn't look... And the reason why that's complicated is because there's various reliefs, so you have to work out in terms of compensating Section 31 grant what we're going to get in addition. So it's complicated, but the numbers don't suggest we've got a significant problem or issue with that. So in broad terms, we believe that the settlement's in line pretty much with the budget. So I think the final bit is as a calculation of core spending power. Which and I think the calculation, I think the average was 6.6% plus across all local authorities. Ours is, and there was a minimum of 3%. So I think our core spending power increases on the government calculations by about 3.5%. We're inevitably below the average because we haven't got social care. So if you count, you've got those. The social care, or the, I think it's called the ASC, additional social care supplement, so they're allowed to put an extra few percent on the count, additional 2 or 3% on the council tax. So core spending power does include your ability to raise council tax as well. So overall, it's not fantastic, arguably slightly disappointing, but not terrible. But overall, the settlement's in line with what our budget numbers are. Subject to checking, but that's where we think we are at the moment.
Okay. Any questions?
No. Except Simon, bless you. 2 years ago, you tried to explain all the rates to me, didn't you? And you follow it to a certain degree, and then there's so many different algorithms and all sorts of things you have to factor in, and I gave up after. Well, Simon, but thank you very much for trying. I'd love to know, if there is a course that somebody can go on, I'd love to know how it's worked out, because I do like that sort of thing.
Well, we, in all seriousness, Neil is our guru on this, so Neil will be very happy to explain any question you've got. But we do actually spend a lot of time and effort on this, because it is because, as I've said before, you start with sort of 48 million coming in the top, and then relatively small changes in percentages or assumptions can easily be 500,000 coming out of the bottom. So we spend a lot of time and effort on it, and we do, there's a lady called Caroline Newman, who's a bit of a guru. So there's two or three of them who work for LG Futures, one or two others, and she's not the only one, but we've worked with her quite a lot, and she goes through the model. We do a lot of monitoring with her, so you know, in terms of Section 151 officer, I'm pretty confident that we're well on top of it. But we do know, or from what she tells us, she says, well, other maybe she's just trying to pull us up, but other authorities just don't really know where they are at all with this. So I think we're in a strong position compared to many, at least in terms of knowing what we've got.
Will that 97,000 deficit have any direct effect on any part of the budget, or would it just be absorbed?
No, it's something we'll have to work with.
Because you could drop out the general fund, right?
So which particular grant is it?
What we do is these grants. So these grants. So there's lower. There's new homes bonus. There's lower tier services grant. There's services grant that was funding guaranteed last year. So and then the previous year they were a different. They were similar grants with different names and different proportions. So in terms of the budget, we just assumed all these things together would total £3 million. So we've now got the split of those, so when we do the final budget we'll be able to split it out into the individual elements. So it's less that one of them was short, it's more that
in total,
you know, we just guess the total figure.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
of course you'd always round up, wouldn't you?
Well, funding guarantee, not necessarily, but no. You know, funding guarantee was a new one last year. And then there was lower tier service.
Funding guarantee.
So one of the grant elements was called funding guarantee last year, and that didn't exist the year before. Then we got services grant and lower tier services grants. They're different pots of money, but essentially they're all essentially the same thing, which is a sort of a transitional or damping amount the government give us to make sure they can say everyone's going to get a minimum 3%. So the government had advertised that minimum 3%, which is why I was reasonably relaxed on how it's going to work out.
Do those grants have to go? So you've got lots of grants that have made up a shortfall of 97,000. Yeah, yeah. But do those grants have to go to a specific place?
No, they're not earmarked.
So it goes in one.
We can use any revenue, any funding we like, revenue, capital.
Okay, so it doesn't run as an underspend or an overspend or something?
It just goes into the funding for the year and we use it all. It drops in and out of the general fund. So when we've done the final calculations on the business rates, we'll know a little bit more about the business rate pool money that we're due to have. So with all those things in the round, we'll look to represent and finesse them or refine them for the final budget. But in totality, we're not in a situation where we've got to completely redo the budget for on the operational or on the services side to reflect that.
Okay.
I'm just saying, anybody online, anything like that? We're looking pretty happy. I don't think it's important.
Andy's not.
Andy's got a
cold. Smile,
Andy. Lee, no questions, thanks, Lee. Okay, so I don't think there's any point in revisiting all the stuff we've previously gone over already. So I think realistically then, possibly, if we have no more questions for you guys, then we're in a position to make a recommendation to go forward. I have made a few notes which I'm happy to share with everybody, and then if anybody wants to add or detract from that, then obviously we're open to that. Is that okay?
That's fine. Please don't speak too quickly.
If you've written something down,
read it out and we can discuss it. But potentially Laura might appreciate the
I'll give you the drafts if you can decipher my shorthand.
I'll try and take the key points here and then look at that afterwards. That's lovely.
Super. Okay, I wrote this earlier, so please forgive me if it's not grammatically correct. The panel notes that due to the business rates pool's windfall of 1.3 million and also benefit of higher interest rates on monies invested, that the medium term financial situation working balance is at 4.1 million, not 2.8 million. This is a much stronger financial position than was previously expected. Whilst many councils appear to be financially struggling, it is good to see that Charm will be able to budget with a limited use of reserves that have been built up over many years of shrewd fiscal management. There are potential risks on the horizon, particularly within the housing benefits subsidy, and we want to see that what changes can be made to assist the general fund through additional income or cuts in expenditure. Now, that's as far as I've got, and it's really whether
Simon did frown at one point.
Did he?
Yes, what, sorry.
4.6 million or something.
No, I think the only thing is the from what you read, the 1.3 million business rate pool money comes is effective this forthcoming financial year. So one reason we're in a better position is because the starting position was better, which is true,
yeah.
But that I wouldn't attribute that to the business rates pool. That's more in terms of the improved interest rates and well, what was that main reason? I can't try to remember the answer. Was it mainly interest rates?
When does that money come in? So
it's coming now, actually. So it's coming
so
now.
So some of it is included.
So it's dropped in now, but the good starting point is due to the 31st of March 2023. So we're obviously into 23-24. This is always a thing with the budget. We're budgeting from a start point which we don't know about yet. But I think if you sort of take the, you know, if it's sort of reworded slightly,
so to take the number out.
Not so much that. If it's reworded slightly, say the impact of higher business rates, higher interest rates, and then the ability to use business rate pool money in future years or something like that. I mean, it's not for me. It's not you can put what you like actually as members, to be clear. Yeah. But
Neil's frowning now.
The business rates pool, you're saying, is a bit better than was
forecast. The business rate pool is a windfall. It's a bit of a windfall gain. So it arises from.
And why is it larger this year than it was?
Last year it was nil. So it is larger. So business rate pool built up over a number of years.
Yeah.
And that's money we paid over into the Leicestershire pool, historically.
Yeah.
So again, historically, that money would have went to the LEP, which then local authorities bid into to say we've got this project. Can the LEP fund this project with business rate pool money? So that's historically what we've done. Then there was a bit. So there's always a timeline between the money going in and the bidding process. So we ended up with a couple of years worth of business rate pool money which hadn't been distributed, and there and at that time, so we had this lump of money, and then the government announces the LEPs were going to cease, so therefore we effectively need a new distribution method, and all the authorities, let's not worry about, you know, historically it's about economic growth and regeneration and that sort of thing. There's no actual, and that's what the business rate pool was set up to mirror what was perceived to be the government position at the time. But strictly speaking, or legally, there is no reason why a business rate pool money has to be restricted to those uses. So we then decided we'll distribute it to local authorities. Then there's the minor matter of each local authority agreeing what their share is going to be. So we have a very extended process, which is So we've finally landed on a third for the county, a third for the city, and a third for the districts after a long faff. I mean, we actually, as districts, we actually agreed a distribution amongst districts before we'd agreed the thirds, but collectively those things, I bet it was 18 months for us to agree that. So it's, but we finally got there in about September, October. Basically, by about September, October, I was reasonably confident that that's the share we were going to get was going to be the case, and we had a letter in, I think it was early December, end of November, early December, which said sort of confirmed what we could have. And then,
but that money then isn't restricted, it can just go into...
It has got some very loose conditions. So for some reason amongst Section 151 officers, we agreed it would be for the use of economic priorities. So I drafted the letter, so economic priorities means as much as we want, but essentially yeah. we've got Bedford Square in the capital programme could be an economic priority, Shepshed could be an economic priority, all the work we do with the town centre team, markets fairs, the regeneration team, all of that, I think you could argue is economic priority. So basically, as I drafted the letter, so I thought we'll make sure we've got enough expenditure of this type so we can say we can basically match it to those expenditure heads. So it should, in theory, is a little bit of restriction. In practice, no. And
because my head's going on. How do we sort of manage that to make sure it's fairly through the borough and not town centred?
Well, all I'm saying really, is we spend within the budget. We spend an amount of. I'll make a number up of £250,000 on town centre activities. So we do that anyway. Historically, that's always been in the budget. But in terms of making sure we satisfy these conditions and whether we'll ever check or audit these, it's just purely a Leicestershire thing, so there's no national thing. But if someone says, right, Simon, can you show how you spend that on economic priorities, I can just pull a number out of the budget, which is £250,000 on town centre. It matches. So I just know the sufficient lines in the budget to match this expenditure again. So it's not a question of, it's not like we're allocating new money. We can support the existing budget or the cap and all the capital programme, depending on taste. So this year the budget was set with the idea that a lot of it would support capital programme.
So going forward then, next year, it isn't there?
I think we've got 2021 and 21-22, so that's the 1.3 million, so that's a couple of years there. 22-23, we are due to get that, so the 22-23 financial year is ended. There is a bit of a process of everyone's accounts then needs to be audited and everyone needs to be happy with the number. So we're just about landing on a number now, so we'll be able to probably get that money in, it might be February, March, might be April, so it might be this year, next year. And then we're in the currently we're in 23-24.
Okay.
And the rules seem to be the same, so we should get some money for 23-24, obviously we're not finished with 23-24,
yeah.
And then my guess is that given where we are with general elections, and given that we've got an agreement, I think amongst ourselves, that the county are disputing a bit, but amongst ourselves, the distribution method to remain the same for 24-25, I think we'll get some more for the 24-25 year. In 25-26. It might carry on, but what will significantly reduce the government can change the rules completely, which they could do at any time. I don't think they'll do for 24-25, given the elections. I think practically it's very difficult. So they can change the rules, or what they can do is, which is a risk I've tried to explain in various documents, is this business rate rebasing. So that's when, so in the terms of the, so the government gives us these figures for settlement funding assessment and tariff, which is based on a sort of baseline level of business rates we're supposed to collect. But those baselines were set for the 2013-14 year, and the government said they would rebase it every 3 years. So you'd get growth and they'd reset your baseline and we'd get reduced. So the government never did. So even ourselves, so we suffered initially because the government set the baseline, and literally it was about 2 weeks later, AstraZeneca, who were our biggest ratepayer, vacated the campus site. So that was £2.25 million of the business rate, bosh, gone. So we were below the baseline. But if you like, North West Leicestershire, they had their baseline set. And then in those 10 years, you go to Roxhill on the junction 23A, all these enormous sheds, all of which generate a lot of business rates. So I think North West Leicestershire are now generating £8 million a year in terms of levy above the baseline. So they're very nicely off. But the other side of that £8 million is that £8 million has gone into the pool, so the way the calculations work, whatever you gain as growth as an individual product, as an individual district, the other side of that, the same amount number goes into the pool as a levy. So if the government decides to rebase it, so one, North West Leicestershire, for example, all of a sudden will have to get used to not having this additional cash they're used to, but then that £8 million that would have gone into the pool doesn't go there. So we could still have the pool and it might still work the same way, but rather than getting a big, you know, rather than getting 600, 800 million pounds, we'd end up getting, you know, 15,000, 20,000, 30,000, so it would still work. So in 24, 25, I'm pretty confident that I think it's highly likely we'll get some of this. 25, 26, you know, the government's got to be tempted to, if nothing else, to do a rebasing exercise. And I'm told from Pixar, who look at this, that would be, for the government, that would be worth 1.2 million a year. So the government, so they could rebase it, collect this 1.2 billion a year and use it for whatever they want, really, or redistribution of local authorities, or, you know, building 200 metres of track on HS2 or whatever, whatever you want to use a little quid for.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, a bit off.
It's all right, it's
No, that's great. Okay, well, if I let you have this then, Laura, then obviously if you want to adapt it with Simon's suggestion, then would you be then email and
Yes. The yeah, so I mean, we haven't got very long because it's going to Scrutiny Commission on Monday. So I don't know whether, if the panel were broadly happy with what you wanted to include and there's nothing else to add.
Wasn't there some word changing?
My suggestion would be that I put it into the report and I circulate it to yourself as chair. If the panel are happy, for you to confirm that you're happy with the report at that stage, then we'll send it to Scrutiny Commission if that's okay.
That's fine.
Is everybody happy with the suggestion? Yeah,
thumbs up.
Yeah. Okay. So that would just be, this is your comment on the budget.
Just comment.
So it could be like an observation within
the report. That's fine, something you do, you can...
Well, when we walked out last time, we thought, well, there's not a lot that we could...
No.
Because you say bloody good, do you say?
I think you said that.
No, I didn't say that. I said something else.
You can be, however good you are, you can't be given a
screen. No, so, yeah.
Okay then, so I think we're there. I think we're done for the evening. So
Okay.
Thank you everybody. Short and sweet. See you when I'm seeing. Happy New Year to
Happy New Year to
Happy New Year.